Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it may be hard to believe in God, but it's much harder not to believe in Him. We're happy for the privilege of coming your way with our Bible Meditations program. We believe that the Bible is the standard that God has given to mankind that governs our conduct, and therefore we need to study it frequently, and learn the principles that are announced in the Word of God. We want to return now to our study concerning the use of the term fool. We would recommend that people not use that term, and the very basic reason is because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus said, "The one who calls his brother a fool shall be in danger of hell fire." However, the God of heaven is aware of the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. And since he is aware of all things, it is perfectly legitimate for him to describe the conduct of some people as being foolish. And so that's what the Bible tells us about. We've already noted the fact that God, in his wisdom, has said the person who denies the evidence that he does exist and says there is no God is indeed foolish in his conclusion. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Another person who is foolish and described so in the Word of God is the man that we read about in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible tells us there was a man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And this man, having all of these goods, decided he needed to do something about taking care of them. He indicated he had no room in his barns for all of the goods that were there. So he said to himself, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." And so he's indicating that he's looking into the future. His barns, he said, he would pull down and build greater, and therein he would bestow all of his goods. But as he began contemplating the time ahead, looking years ahead, saying, "I have everything taken care of," the Bible says this, God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Let's go back and look at that man for a moment. Here's a man who had been blessed abundantly. His ground brought forth plentifully, and certainly everybody can see the good that has come unto this man. Where did it come from? Well, he evidently doesn't take time to think about that. Perhaps he was thinking he had done it himself. But nonetheless, regardless of where he thought it came from, the man had no thought of using it in a manner for blessing other people. Do you remember he said, "I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, therein I'll bestow all of my goods, so I'll take care of myself." Have you ever wondered what he was thinking about in regard to all the goods that he had? Did it ever occur to him he had an abundance and there might be a neighbor who doesn't have? Does it seem that he gave consideration to what somebody else had? Doesn't seem like that, does it? Seems like he's just thinking about himself, and so he's thinking in his own way about his own conduct. Is his conduct foolish? Indeed it is. God said, "It's foolish. Here's the reason. You're going to die this very night." Suppose a person living today should have an abundance of goods. Everything seems to be going their way. Is there a guarantee that they'll have it tomorrow to spend what they have? Will they be able, really, tomorrow to enjoy all the pleasures that they have stored up against the time that is to come? while it is altogether possible for them to live a few more years, it's also possible that they might not even have another day. Wouldn't it be foolish to plan for a long time and not have even another moment? Who among us knows how long they're going to live? Is there anyone you know who can say, well, I'm going to live for 10 years, or I'm going to live for 5 years? Do you know of anyone who really knows about that? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That's an appointment. It's made for us. Can we go ahead and say, well, I'm not going to meet that appointment. I've thought about it, and I've decided I'm not going to die. Well, no man's done that, have they? And there's a reason for that, is because it's not in our hands. Our life, according to James chapter 4, about verse 13 beginning, is like a vapor. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, I'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if a man wills, we will do this or that. That is, if God wills, we will do this or that. In other words, it's all in God's hands, isn't it? Would it be foolish for me to forget that? There are people multiplied, numbers of people, surrounding us all of the time, who seemingly live for this life here and don't have any thought running through their mind at all as to what they owe to their Creator. One of the reasons that we have this program, Bible Meditations, is to remind people that we have a God to whom we are responsible. There will be a day of accounting ahead, and all of us are going to be there, and we're going to answer to God for our conduct as we lived here upon the earth. It would be foolish for us to ignore that fact. It would be foolish for us to live our lives as though we're going to live forever, and not realize that time is coming when life here upon the earth will be over. Does the Bible tell us plainly that death is coming to all of us? Yes, it does. Does that mean I ought to get a morbid look on my face and go around thinking of death all of the time? This might be the day, this might be the hour. We just don't know about that. Obviously, we are to enjoy life. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips that they know no guile. That just simply means that we ought to enjoy life here. Well, if I'm going around constantly worrying about dying, I'm not going to get the enjoyment out of life that I ought to get. But that doesn't mean that I ought to ignore the fact that there's going to be a time when my life will be over. Things will be out of my hands. You know, today I might decide, well, I want something, and so I'll just take the money and get it, whatever it is. Material things are in my ability to buy, so I'll just use the money for those things. But what happens if those material things are not things I can buy? Suppose I come to a health problem. Could I say to God, now, wait just a minute, I have a health problem, I'm going to give you some money, and you can straighten everything up, and I won't have to worry about my body being sick. It doesn't happen, does it? All of the money in the world is not going to buy health for people. It may help to have a good doctor. It may help to be able to have good care. But that doesn't mean that we have thwarted the idea of death. So trusting in ourselves and trusting in people and things round about us makes us rather foolish before God, does it not? We appreciate the opportunity of talking with you again about the Word of God. We do hope that you think in a very serious way about the Lord's will. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.